When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian?
It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But as always, first, let's open up with the news of the day, and recruiting is really what's going on right now. Jerry, what's the latest there?
Yeah, added another official visitor yesterday. We put out that Michael Terry, the second out of Alamo Heights, the athlete, is going to officially visit Texas June 7th through 9th. He'll follow that with a visit to Texas A&M the 14th through 16th. He was at Oregon for an official last weekend, and he was at Nebraska in late April, which I don't think it'll factor in at the end of the day. I could be wrong, but I don't see it. Oregon was his childhood favorite. Like a lot of kids, he grew up loving Oregon, the uniforms, everything like that. So Oregon's a major player. Texas and then Texas A&M. I think those three are where that decision will come from as of today. Texas recruiting Michael as an athlete. I talked to somebody very, very close to that recruitment yesterday afternoon. And Sarkisian basically said, look, we think you can play four spots at Texas, but that's going to be decided once you get here and we get you on the field. So, look, he doesn't really – Michael Terry prefers wide receiver. I'm not sure, Bobby, long-term, that's what he is. He's 218 pounds right now. He's going to be 230, 235 pounds. It's going to be hard to keep weight off of him. He runs track. He's an active three-sport guy. It's going to be very hard to keep him under 230 pounds long-term, especially the person I talked to. They believe he's going to be a 235, 240-pound person. That's somebody that sees him just about every day. So I think – a lot of people want to pigeonhole him and say linebacker. That's an instinctive position. If you're saying a guy's just going to play linebacker, that means he's playing off the edge. You don't just stick a guy because he's 6'3", 220 with long arms in the middle and expect him to play linebacker. It's a very instinctive position. So I think he'd be more of an edge rush guy as a linebacker prospect. The other thing I look at with him is, can you be Amari Nyblak at tight end? Because Amari Nyblak and him are pretty similar coming out of high school, athletically and frame-wise. And Nyblak's sitting there at about, what, 6'3", 232 now in that area code with 4.5 speed. Michael Terry ran, what, 10.8 in the 100 meters this year, 217 pounds, 215 pounds. So similar athleticism. He has that fluidity with the ball in his hand, Bobby. I'm sure you've watched the huddle. You have any thoughts on him, you know, where he could – he's a hard projection for colleges, and I think as talented of an athlete as he is, that's what makes it tough for some of these schools. He's a little bit harder of a projection positionally, especially because he wants to play wide receiver, and that's not really his upside spot.
It is not his upside spot unless he's David Boston.
Yeah,
unless he's going to be 6'3", 245, and, you know, be a muscle-bound – dude, that's just not who he's going to be at receiver. The question I have for you, Jerry, and I've seen him on film. I haven't seen him in person, so it's a little bit different. What's the difference between him and, say, a Nick Townsend? You know, Nick is a little bit, what, a little bit bigger at 230?
Yeah.
He runs a 10.9. Michael Terry's at 217, runs a 10.8. Same height, roughly.
I think the difference between those is and not that Michael Terry's not a physical football player. I'm not saying that. But Townsend's shown that physicality more so in high school. He plays an outside linebacker on defense already. I mean, he is a guy that's playing downhill, rushing the passer in high school when he's not playing at the tight end position. So he's played a more physical, demanding spot and shown more physicality at the same age because he's had to, where Michael Terry will play running back, receiver, corner. He's not really playing on the line of scrimmage in that physical manner. Not that he's not a physical player. It's just different than what you see on tape between those two and what they've been asked to do and what they have done from a physicality standpoint in football. But that doesn't mean Michael Terry can't do it. Look, there's plenty of guys that played outside. JT Sanders is an outside receiver, right? I mean, but that's not what he was going to be. Now, I think Terry's a more physical player than JT Sanders. That would be the difference between those two. Nick Townsend is a physical football player right now.
Oh, you're muted, Bobby.
I think that's the issue, is the physicality piece. Look, and I think Michael Terry actually is very physical for his position, right?
Yeah.
Question is, does that carry to the next position that you're projecting him at, whether that's an outside edge rusher or a tight end where he has to come out and do a little stuff? I think he's more physical, for example, than JT Sanders naturally as a player. I mean, even right now. And so my thought process on it is he's either a tight end or a outside linebacker / defensive end. I don't know that long. And when I say tight end, I mean like a flex guy, an H guy, which, you know, is who is that in the NFL? Well, there's guys in the NFL is Travis Kelce truly an inline tight end? I'm not comparing him to Travis Kelce, but he's not really a tight end in the traditional sense of the word. There are going to be very few places that are able to use and utilize Michael Terry like Texas would, in my opinion. Same with Nick Townsend. Those guys have skill sets that, you know, if you can't just go be an inline tight end with those guys and get the most out of them.
Right.
And I think Texas is uniquely positioned to get the most out of those types of guys. I really do. Now, will they see that? Will Michael Terry see that? Will Nick Townsend, you know, realize that Sark's offense actually plays into that? I don't know. Because they are going to make decisions likely before they get to see what Amari Nyblak does this year too, Jerry.
Yeah.
Neither of those guys are your prototypical tight ends. And I'm interested. Keyote Armstrong is more your prototypical tight end.
Correct.
Big guy, going to handle inline stuff.
Caleb Edwards the same.
Yep. These two are a little bit different in that they're more they're more like Jatavion Sanders, who was really more effective as an H-back / flexed out guy than he ever was in line.
By the way, we're up to, I just put up the updated visitors list on Texas football, and that is up to 44 official visit. So, hey, Bobby, I got to step out for a second. I'll be right back.
Oh, boy. Jerry's got a phone call. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Hold on a second, Jerry. Let's get you out of there. There you go, Blake. Jerry and his phone calls in the middle of the morning, that usually means something's going on. He mentioned that there's going to be more guys coming in, 44 total official visitors with now the addition of Michael Terry out of Alamo Heights. I will add this, CJ Vogel reporting this morning on ontexasfootball.com that Isaiah Williams, the stud safety, 2026 safety out of Fort Bend Marshall, will be in for Elite Day on June 1st as well. That is happening in a big, big way right now. Texas trying to compete with Georgia and Ohio State for maybe one of the top state's top two or three players in 2025 or 2026 as well. Blake, the other thing that we wanted to talk about this morning, a couple of different pieces. The comments that an anonymous source made on Quinn Ewers, couple of different anonymous sources made on Quinn Ewers that The Athletic published. And then also what we wanted to talk about was the top 25 that ESPN came out with. But I'll let you go ahead and read some of this stuff that came in this yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously this is from The Athletic. They talked to various Big 12 coaches about Quinn Ewers and what their thoughts were on him heading into the season. Not sure why they did Big 12 since Texas is out of the Big 12, but here you go. One DB coach who played Texas last year says, "I'm not that high on him, overhyped. He has a good arm, and he did have a lot of talent around him, but you just see a bunch of stuff where you wonder what he's doing out there." Another veteran Big 12 assistant said, "I think he's just trying to, or still trying to figure things out. Stark does such a good job of setting things up for him, and you'll see times where he'll rip it, but then there are other times he seems to be just a little timid." And then another Big 12 assistant with the comment of, "I'm very curious to watch him this year. The last 2 years, he had superstars around him. There's some, oh my God, throws on film that he made against Alabama, but he was just so inconsistent. I think he's about average athletically." And then finally, a Big 12 defensive coordinator said, "I do think he's come a long way from 2022. There were too many Patrick Mahomes comparisons around him coming into college. He does have a good arm, but he's not anywhere near as athletic nor the playmaker Mahomes is, or does he have that kind of presence? It's kind of a strange deal because people want to talk about that, about what he was supposed to be, or they want to talk about Arch Manning behind him, but that isn't the kid's fault."
I completely – so there are a couple pieces I want to take on this that I think are fair to discuss. One – I completely agree with the comment. Sark does a good job of setting things up for Quinn. He does it, though, for all of his quarterbacks, not just Quinn. I mean, Sark does a good job of that, where it's easy throws. They're way open, etc. Right? We know that. All right. Then there's the other piece of this, and it talks about the comparison where maybe he came in with unfair comparisons. You know, he's a 1.00 rated recruit, one of the best of all time, etc. I don't know that Quinn Ewers is one of the best quarterbacks of all time as he was rated. Okay. You know, that's not a fair comparison and a fair measuring stick. What is fair is the Longhorns won 12 games last year. That's a fair comparison. And so you can talk about all this stuff and overhyped and all this other things you want to. At the end of the day, Texas won 12 games. He did not, other than one game, he wasn't the reason Texas had an issue. He had a bad start against OU. The rest of the way, he stayed clear. So there's a value there that all of these coaches are saying over whatever. You know, 12 wins. I mean, I know he start 10 of them? Give me a break. I mean, I think that that's one of those things. As far as anonymous sources, I want to say this. I have no problem with anonymous sources because the reason why, we have to use them all the time. And if you don't use them, we're not going to be able to bring you guys some of the things that people really feel. Now, I know some say, "Oh, well, anonymous sources are bad," and et cetera. But the reality of it is that, you know, unless it's just something bizarre, none of that to me for Quinn Ewers was necessarily bizarre or unthought of or unfathomable. I mean, the AD Mitchell stuff, Adonai Mitchell stuff is something different. But the Quinn Ewers stuff is not that far away.
All right, y'all, before we move on, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Texas electricity ratings.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys, I got to say this. Matt is one of the folks at Texas Electricity Ratings that helps sponsor the every Tuesday morning's Coffee and Football. He and his family were down in Houston, and their entire neighborhood was devastated, absolutely devastated by the winds that came through. So send your thoughts along to them and their neighbors. I mean, 100-year oak after 100-year oak got tore out of the ground down in Houston last week. Tough stuff. But anyways, I want to talk about his company. For those of y'all still living in Texas and in the major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. Hook them. And Matt and everybody down in Houston that are still, some of you guys still without power, good luck to you guys. Make sure you check out TexasElectricityRatings.com.
Okay, guys. Well, like we said, one of the other things that we wanted to talk about this morning was the college football post spring top 25. And I'm going to go ahead and just bring it in here. Oh, I guess it would help if I brought the right thing up. Georgia, number one in those ratings, followed by Ohio State at number two. And then Texas at number three. We'll come back to that here in a second. Oregon, four. Notre Dame, five. Ole Miss, six. Alabama, seven. Missouri, eight. Utah, nine. And Michigan, 10. Oklahoma comes in at number 18. What are y'all's thoughts on Texas being ranked number three? Let's start there.
I think that that's going to be the consensus. They'll flip-flop between one and two with Ohio State and Georgia going into the year, and Texas will be the consensus number three. That's my thought. Jerry, you agree with that idea that they're going to be the consensus number three?
Yeah, I do. And by the way, Silas Bolden arrived in Austin. I saw some people saying that, confirmed that. Silas Bolden has arrived in Austin this morning, finished up his schoolwork at Oregon State. But yeah, I do agree with where Texas will be ranked preseason. And I know some people will be like, whoa, secondary, interior D-line. But the one thing I'll say is I don't think there's a perfect football team out there. Even Georgia. I mean, look, Michigan won a national title without a number one wide receiver last year. So, I mean, there's no perfect football teams. I think the portal has taken away perfect football teams, honestly. I think Georgia's very good. I think Ohio State's very talented. We'll see if Chip Kelly is the difference there, because it won't be Ryan Day. It'll have to be Chip Kelly. We've seen enough of Ryan Day. So I think Texas at three is right there with Oregon. I mean, right there. Look, who would you take at quarterback or first year in the Big 12 versus first year in the SEC? I think Texas may have a better schedule, maybe a little tougher because they go to Michigan in a non-conference versus Oregon. But Oregon's – that's a big change for a team going to the Big Ten. Just everything they've been accustomed to. A Texas move to the SEC, and I know that's kind of getting off the path a little bit, but I think all that matters for these teams this year moving conferences. I mean, Oregon's facing a lot different travel and weather than they have in the past, right? It's Texas has an easier travel, easier move geographically and all that factors into it. And then, you know, a lot of this is going to come down to, I hate to say it. I mean, I think Texas, I've said it before, Texas is a faster team 1-85 this year than they were last year, 1-85 on the roster. That means Sark and the staff are doing a great job in recruiting. And that speed is, that can be pass rushing. That can be safety. That can be just in the whole roster is a faster roster than it was a year ago for me. So Texas continues to upgrade speed while upgrading playmakers at certain spots as well. The key with for me, like when you're talking Texas 3, Oregon 4, what's Dylan Gabriel really going to look like at Oregon? Is he going to be as good as Bo Nix was for Oregon? I tend to think he won't be. So that's one of the things I'm looking at with them is, And then you have, I know people will talk about Ohio State's quarterback situation. Chip Kelly will make whoever it is look better than they are. Now, I really believe that with Chip Kelly. He'll maximize whoever that guy is. But, you know, one of my takeaways too, boy, when you look at the rankings, Kalen DeBoer has a pretty tough first-year schedule for first-year head coach at Alabama following Nick Saban. And again, Florida has the worst schedule ever. When you just look at the top 20, Florida has 9 teams in the top 25 on their, or 8 or 9 teams on their schedule. Poor Billy Napier.
It's very interesting to me, not even the top 3 or top 4. That second group of teams seems to be clumped together right now. Ole Miss seems to be a favorite. Then you have a team like Missouri. They seem to be in that second group after they came off a big year last year. Of course, both of those teams are bringing back their quarterbacks, right? Brady Cook and Jackson Dart. I'm interested to see where people come out 5 to 15, because I think there are going to be a couple teams that actually move up ahead of the teams like Missouri and Ole Miss, who maybe last year, Jerry, caught some teams by surprise. I don't know if they'll do that again this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll happen for them.
Yeah, Missouri definitely won't. I mean, they're going to be the hunted. They're never going to be the hunted in the SEC, but they're going to be hunted a little more in the SEC. Ole Miss is an interesting team, because if the 3 portal guys on the offensive line perform up to expectations and they mesh that together, plus Walter Nolan and Princely Umanamielen on their contract years on the D-line, Ole Miss is going to be pretty good. You give Lane Kiffin a good offensive line, a third-year starting quarterback. Juice Wells, what's he going to be like? Is he going to stay healthy at receiver? Ole Miss is a pretty interesting team. Missouri, I think, they lost a lot defensively. I think Drinkwitz is a really good coach. Obviously, I think quarterback's a very good player, an underrated athlete. And Luther Burden's as good a receiver as there is in the country. But I think it's going to be a little tougher for them this year. Ole Miss is very interesting for me. And Ole Miss has the schedule to truly make national noise. I mean, they have a really good schedule to make national noise. I think the interesting team to me, and I know Bobby's not on board, is Notre Dame. And I'm not saying Notre Dame a national championship. I think if Riley Leonard's healthy, they're going to have the best offense, best ability to score they've had in a while up there. I think Jaden Greathouse is a really good player. The receiver from FIU that transferred, and I think, is a difference maker for Notre Dame. Notre Dame, if Riley Leonard's healthy, they're gonna be pretty good on offense. And I know Texas fans are just hoping they're really good on offense one day, and they don't care the rest of the season. But Notre Dame
on opening day, please.
Yeah, you know Freeman's gonna have them playing good enough defense, right? The question is, could they score enough? When they got into a game against Alabama, a game against Georgia, did they have enough speed and firepower? And they never have in those games against Alabama in those playoff games. This is going to be the best offensive skill talent they've had at Notre Dame. Now, how will that translate throughout the season? Hey, after week one, Notre Dame doesn't have a bad schedule. I'll say that.
I want to just say this about our friends at Ole Miss. 10 of 11 starters on offense are seniors.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin is a offensive coach. They will be good on offense if it's the last thing they do. The question is, are they going to be good enough on defense where, frankly, they don't have the firepower like they do on offense? And is Jackson Dart an elite quarterback or just a good, solid college quarterback? Some people might compare him to Will Howard at Ohio State. Good player. Is he a great player?
Yeah.
You know, that's the line for him. As far as Notre Dame is concerned, obviously they have a new offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, coming over from LSU up to Notre Dame this year. My take on the Irish is a little bit different in that there's something about them right now that they're not taking the next step. And they weren't doing it under Brian Kelly, and they're not doing it under Marcus Freeman. They haven't been winning the close games. And whether that's because they've been playing a bunch of ACC teams that are stronger than they expected in a league, they're not playing Army, Navy, and Air Force. in conference anymore. Now, they probably play all three of them, actually, but since they're an independent. But my point is, that's Notre Dame has struggled with playing conference opponents. I'm not sold on them for a number of reasons. I think they're a good team. I don't know that they're ever going to be a great team as currently constituted.
All right, guys. Well, let's move. Actually, before we move on, we got a couple of questions regarding some of this stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you all those. Mike G says, with all the money invested at Ohio State, do you think Day's seat gets hot if they don't win it all this year?
If they don't beat Michigan, it's on fire. it's not hot. I mean, it's on fire if they don't beat Michigan. Now, win it all is a different story, but if you don't beat Michigan, Ryan Day is going to maybe looking for an exit.
Yeah, and I would say he almost needs to get to the national title game this year for the expectations of the program. Look, Caleb Downs was not an inexpensive transfer. Okay, they put a lot into this thing this year to say, all right, you got Chip Kelly. He got lucky there with Boston College hiring Bill O'Brien, but you got Chip Kelly. We got you transfer quarterback because I guess you said your quarterbacks weren't good enough. You ran them all off. The guys you recruited, by the way. And then you added some pieces, but you have a lot of experience coming back. I mean, it's a roster that everybody other than Georgia would take in the country right now. So maybe with the exception of quarterback, but Julian saying as a young quarterback's a good player, right? So I think there's pressure on him to get to the game this year. I really do. I mean, I don't know.
It's all about that. I mean, having been up there, Jerry, I'm just telling you, it is all about Michigan right now. They are one of my friends is an Ohio State grad, and they can't handle that. I mean, there are certain things in life some people can't handle. Ohio State people cannot handle losing to Michigan.
I'll tell you this one. Doesn't Ohio State have an easy schedule this year? Yeah, but they go to Oregon. I tell you, if Ryan Day loses to Dan Lanning year one, that won't go over well either. And that's going to be a tough game.
Heoli Frioli 93 says, in a bizarre world where Quinn Ewers stays at Ohio State, do you think they'd be considered the number one favorite to this year to win the Natty?
Probably. He'd be fourth year in the program. He'd be, yeah. I mean.
No. I think so. Don't you? I mean.
Yeah.
If Ewers was there, who would you take, Will Howard or Quinn Ewers in a pro-style offense?
Yeah.
Who can make all the throws? Who can stretch the field with the receivers that Ohio State really has?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear.
There's a reason they wanted him out of high school.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few super chats that we need to knock out real quick. We're going to start with this one from Nate Russ. He says, Jerry should run against and post 40s against prospects.
Let me just tell you why that will never happen. I stopped doing anything other than cycling and golf years ago because I wanted to save my Achilles tendons because I had multiple friends who were playing in pickup basketball or YMCA leagues and lost their Achilles tendons to age and what we call sports ignorance. I'm not going to be that guy. They scared me off of that. That is a rough rehab. So, no, the only thing I'll be running to is a beach.
Well, we talked about Quinn Ewers quite a bit this morning, and Art Torres says, what professional quarterback does Ewers remind you of in the NFL? I think maybe Jared Goff. What professional he just repeated it twice. So he thinks Goff. You guys think?
I think that's not a bad comparison. I don't think that's a bad comparison. I think Goff a little quicker with the ball in college than what Quinn has been, but he also played in a little bit different offense in college. He played more four wides, less prototypical run style. I think that that's a fair comparison. I would like to see Quinn be a little bit quicker on the underneath stuff before I say that that's a one-to-one comparison.
And then one other super chat that we'll go ahead and knock out from this one from Jay Lee. He says, what is Sark actively doing to improve our defensive line recruiting? We will lose five defensive linemen at season's end, and it's already giving me anxiety on who's going to replace them.
Jerry, look, what are they doing?
Look, I think the one thing is you have to win an NIL on D line out of high school. But you're not getting them otherwise. It's not relationship game. It's not resume games. It's none of that stuff, man. I mean, it's just not. If that was the case, certain schools or coaches would never lose a recruitment. That's just not the way it is. So I think at the high, it's a big cycle in the high school level. Because I mean, look, just think about who you're battling for all these guys. I mean, it's all teams east of you. I mean, so it's going to be some knockdown dragouts, and you got to win two or three of those. There's no doubt about it. You just have to. And then look, you need to go probably to the portal for one or two more guys. I mean, that's just going to be the reality of it. But the big wins, these aren't easy. I mean, there's a reason. I really say this. It's the most coveted position in the SEC. And they're knockdown dragouts for these guys. And you're going to have to swing big and win. I don't know any other way to put it.
Look, they need – for next year, they need Alex January and Sidir Mitchell to come on and be players in 2025. That will allay some fears. That doesn't mean they're not going to have to go to the portal at some level, right? So I think that it's a little bit of a mix there, Jay. If I would literally circle Alex January and Sidir Mitchell, and depending on how they do this year and how they come on, then you worry a little bit. But they, you know, with the portal, I mean, look, Texas took three defensive. We talked about it all year. Texas is going to have to go to the portal for defensive tackle, right? We talked about it. People are, I think the defensive tackle position is in better position than what we thought. End of the day, how many did Texas take out of the portal? Three. You can say it was or wasn't needed, but they took three. The coaches don't just, you know, they're not just guessing. They think they needed three. So, I mean, Jay, they're going to have to go back to the portal again next year, in my opinion. Hopefully, they do it in a situation where they can help January and Mitchell along, because those guys can be the dudes down the line. Right now, they're worried that they don't have a dude. Mitchell and January have the ability to be that guy.
By the way, I would say this on D-line recruiting. I think people get wrapped up too much in five-star rankings on the D-line.
Oh, yeah.
You need – look, Quinnen Williams is number 180-ranked player in the country coming out of high school. Do you think Nick Saban, Bo Davis, and those guys thought that was a ranking for him? Or was that low? I would just kind of think about that. You just want – you want talents like Alex January was a four-star prospect. He was underrated. I think there's no doubt. De'Andre Robinson, those guys. I mean, if you get the occasional guy, yeah, there's just not many of those guys. But the key is to get the talents like the Alex Januaries, the De'Andre Robinsons, those guys, and you got to take probably six of those guys to develop two in the really, really good players, to have two of them hit. But it's a position you almost have to oversign a little bit and to get those guys to develop and hit. But it's more than five-star guys. It's getting those four-star guys with upside guys, even some of the high three-star guys, and develop those guys over time. It's not going to be three five-star D linemen in a class. That's just not happening. So that's kind of the key for me, for everybody to kind of think about, is it's not the high ranked guys. You may get one of those guys, but it's the guys ranked 150 to 300 in the country that you got to sign in numbers of those guys and have them hit and have two or three of them hit.
Okay, y'all. Well, been getting a couple of baseball questions, and a big day yesterday for the baseball team. Let's start there. Max Ballou was named the Big 12 Player of the Year after hitting 341 on the season with 7 home runs, 49 RBIs, and 14 doubles. All in all, 9 Longhorns on the all Big 12 teams, including Will Gasparino, who made the all freshman team. So not a bad outing with 9 total there. Texas takes on Texas Tech tonight. David Williams says, are you ready for the Longhorns to beat up on Tech today? If Ace Whitehead can go a strong 6 or 7 innings, it would really give UT a huge boost going deep in the tournament. David, I agree. But historically, under David Pierce, they haven't always done well in the conference tournament. Then they turn it on in the postseason after that. So if that's the trade-off that we have to take to do well and get to Omaha, then you know that's one I'm definitely down for sure. But we'll see what happens. The Big 12 this year, obviously wide open because it's just not been the best. Let's put it that way.
Blake, let me ask you this. So the Bell U guy, where is he from? Give us his Big 12 Player of the Year is no small feat. Where is he from? What's his future look like? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so he's actually from Aledo. He played a little bit last year. I was actually looking. He hit 300 last year, but only 20 at-bats as a freshman. So he is only a sophomore. Do I think he'll be drafted? Absolutely. He's a great player. But, you know, just an Aledo kid. Another Aledo kid, I guess I should say, showing out at the collegiate ranks. But, yeah, he kind of came on a little slow at the beginning and then just really finished out super strong. So a great year for Max Ballou, and congratulations to him. All right. Well, we have another super chat here, and this one from Jack, who's no stranger to super chats. And Jack says, Jerry, are the staff looking at any 3 stars or less? Seems we've had a few that have turned into gems.
Yeah. So I interviewed one of those guys that's ranked that in that regard last week, Caleb Chester at Fort Bend Marshall. In the recruiting industry, he's a 3-star ranked player. I walked away from that interview. I think Bobby watched it, but thinking, you know, that's where I differ on rankings a little bit. That guy is a student of the game. He clearly studies football. You know, yes, those type of guys are what you're looking for. There's a reason A&M, Texas are on Caleb Chester. The schools that have really got down there to see him, have gotten to know him. Like, I hope that interview came across. That dude cares about football. Football's important to him. He's got to fill out his frame. He was 6 foot, about 162 at the start of the season. He's 6 foot and a half, about 172, 175 now. But still competes in track. So he's a guy that loves football, but still competes in track. But very serious about football, film study guy. If you find guys like that, you know, I'm a big fan of those guys, Bobby. For guys that are ranked in the high three-star range, I'm like, okay, what boxes do these guys check outside of what somebody may see on a huddle film to rank a player? And I thought that kid checked a lot of boxes last Thursday.
Yeah, I think that my take on things like this, if they have the requisite physical skills,
mm-hmm.
right? So, mm-hmm. and he does, then it matters, right? You're talking about guys more likely to maximize their ability and who they can be and want to be,
yep.
Frankly. A couple of thoughts on that interview, because I did watch it. He comes off as extremely driven,
yes.
I thought, and understands who he wants to be, which is very rare at the age of 17 or 18, however old he is, Jerry, in that regard. My thought process on where Texas is going right now across the board is he also helps. I think that's a guy that really helps the clubhouse, so to speak. I mean, he's a guy that helps your culture because if he takes it seriously, the more people that take it seriously, the less shenanigans you're going to hear about off the field. They're going to be driven. And so I feel like those are the kind of guys you want for that purpose as well. It's not just hey, they're going to know they're going to be able to line you up and get you ready to go. from a defensive back perspective. It's also, they're going to be the ones that are going to work out at the field instead of going to the club on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a good thing as well.
I thought Alex January last year was one of those guys for me to answer the question because, look, this is also what factors into it. And Bobby and I have talked about this a lot. You know, recruiting's moved so far ahead that almost senior seasons are forgotten about with some guys in rankings these days. It's not taken as serious as it was 8-9 years ago because you're more moving on to the next class because that's kind of where the fan base moves and that's where recruiting moves with the college coaches. But Alex January, I mean, he's one of those guys for me because, look, his spring of his sophomore year, he was playing baseball. So what did you miss there? You missed spring football. You missed the weight room workouts with Reginald Samples, who is – he's a hard – he's hard on these guys now. I mean, and he does it the right way with these guys. There's demands on these kids in the dunk. But most people say, oh, it's just talented players. No, those are hard jobs. I mean, North Shore is not an easy job. Duncanville's not an easy job. You have to be very discipline-oriented as coaches there. But what I'm saying with Alex January, then he moves away from baseball. So spring of his junior year, he's in spring practice at Duncanville. He's in the weight room. His body starts to change. And then senior year, he's the MVP, defensive MVP of a district that had, what, 20 Power 5 players in it, including Colin Simmons, all the guys at DeSoto, Cedar Hill, Dallas Skyline. I mean, so Alex January is one of those guys. These guys develop on their own time frames. They all don't develop together. But I think senior year, that guy probably wasn't looked at the way he should have been in the recruiting industry. And that's why we're going to look back on that in 4 years, say that guy was undervalued or underranked or whatever you want to call it. His senior year showed different with his development and where he was headed than the spring of his sophomore year.
All right, this next question here comes from Michael Rodriguez. Bobby, interested to hear your take on this. He says, good morning. What's y'all take on the dominant 23-24 championships won in the Big 12 by Texas on their way to the SEC? Do you feel a statement has been made?
I think so. I think Texas put the stamp on the Big 12 and said, take it. You know, I really do. 15 Big 12 championships in your final year of the Big 12. Go out in style, Texas. I mean, that's what we all love. I mean, look, there was nobody more petty in the move to the SEC than perhaps Texas A&M, than Brett Yormark. And the Big 12 commissioner going out there and actively rooting for another team. Or the deputy commissioner talking bad about Texas because they would rather lose to Alabama than Kansas State, you know, as a reason to move to the SEC when Texas – when's the last time Texas lost to Kansas State and then Texas goes and beats Alabama? Look, I have no love lost for the leadership of the Big 12. And frankly, there's a reason now why – like, I didn't know this deputy commissioner. I thought Yormark was just a barking carnival type of crazy – carnival barker, essentially, right? He's a MMA or World Wrestling Federation guy that just goes out there and barks, you know, that's his job. Then he tries to come off as a smooth talking whatever, and it failed on me. But the fact that the deputy commissioner said what he did, and the deputy commissioner's been there for 15 years through multiple commissioners, it just makes me think that Texas was getting screwed from every which direction for a long period of time. You know, anything that was, you know, wanted to take the Big 12 in a direction where Texas wanted to take it, it was being fought at the home office, you know, tooth and nail by folks. It's just stupid.
By the way, somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but I was looking at these Director Cup, the trophies, and it doesn't say Big 12 on them. It says University of Texas All Sports Champion. So, I mean, that won't even, when Texas leaves the conference, they'll, the Big 12 will claim it, but the trophies forever do not say Big 12 on them.
I don't think that Brett Yormark's going to send out a tweet about Texas winning the Director's Cup.
It's just because Big 12's never winning one again.
Well, he can
not unless they add, not unless they add Stanford to the Big 12, and Stanford, you know, decided to go with the ACC over the Big 12, go across the entire country to play. So,
all right, guys. Well, speaking of winning, Jerry, why don't you tell folks how they can win with Manscaped?
Look, first of all, I'm hitting the road after this show, so the handy band's ready to go. It's ready for the trip. Here we go, man. Fellas, blink if you haven't purchased that Father's Day gift yet. Yeah, we thought so. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the below-the-waist leaders in grooming. Maybe your pops has had a bush since the 70s, and that's okay, I guess. Our friends at Manscaped have crafted the total package for his special day. Whether it's the boys downstairs, his beard, or even the best pair of underwear out there, Manscaped has his bases covered. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with code ONTEXAS, all caps, from daddy to zaddy. Trust Manscaped. Look, this Father's Day is also the perfect time for your old man to stop stealing his wife's nail clippers and finally have a kid of his own that will last a lifetime. The Shears 3.0 is the five-piece precision men's nail grooming kit that any father needs to stay on top of his self-care, with professional-grade stainless steel tools, sized and styled for the task at hand. And that could be a mighty task at hand, let's be real. Again, manscaped.com, on Texas, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping.
Good read, Jerry. Good job.
Good stuff, for sure.
Way to carry the torch, my man.
Well, speaking of good stuff, we got plenty of good questions and plenty of time for you to get your questions in right here on Texas Football. And let's start. This has actually been asked a couple of times today. Donald Britt says, when do we enter the SEC? Seems like I remember July 24th for some reason.
They're having a big ceremony. I think it's July 1st, actually, or June 30th. They're having a big celebration on the West Lawn of the University, or the South Lawn of the University campus on June 30th. There'll be representatives from all the other schools out there in the SEC. It should be a fun thing. Christoph Conte's trying to make it into a carnival-like atmosphere, wants fans to come out and hang out. So I think it's – I don't know the official date, but I think Texas is marking it.
June, I just looked at a photo I took at the spring game. June 30th, free admission.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Texas is marking it as June 30th. If there's another official date beyond that, I don't know it.
Okay, this next question here is from Daniel, and he says, what game will we see Big 12 championship game Quinn this year?
I have one. I hope it's Michigan.
I want to see Alabama game Quinn.
Yeah, in Michigan.
That, you know, it's one thing to do it against – I mean, look, Oklahoma State did not have a great defense. Alabama had, what, five, six, seven guys? NFL guys on two NFL corners, two of the top three corners picked.
I beat Georgia and got to the playoff, by the way.
Caleb Downs was
the only loss until the
I want to see, I don't want to see Oklahoma State Quinn necessarily, where frankly receivers were running wide open. I want to see more Alabama Quinn. That's my, I'm not to take too much umbrage with what you said. I just feel like let's play the teams where he played really well in must-win games last year. Alabama, I thought he played really, really well. I thought he played really well against Tech. And, you know, beyond that, where else did he play great? Iowa State, I thought he played really well in the crunch time.
I'll say this. After the rough start at Oklahoma, he played pretty.
Oh, no, he played tremendous. They had, 19 completions in a row.
Yeah.
And on a related note, John Haney says, how many conference championships can Texas win in year one in the SEC?
That's a great question. I think two, maybe three.
Oh, no, no. Overall, out of 15? No, no, no. Jerry, Texas is going to win 5 to 10. I mean, you're forgetting about the other. I mean, they would have won, you know, men's and women's tennis. But, yeah. Won, or not women's tennis, I guess, because A&M.
Four or five.
They, yeah. Though.
It's not. I mean, competition steps up. I mean, baseball.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, basketball, probably not. You know, football, who wants? I mean, you never know on that, right? But it's softball, maybe, right? I mean, so four or five, I think, would be a good bet.
So let me ask y'all this: out of the major three sports, which one comes first?
Right, as of right now, I would guess football.
Same.
It's in better position.
Yeah,
it may be more competitive though, but it's in better position. Baseball is probably the furthest away, based on the relative strength of the SEC as a league.
Volleyball, that was a good one. Although, yeah. You know, volleyball's tough, but yeah, they'll be the favorite.
Okay, our next question here. Gilbert Martinez says, outside of Quinn Ewers, who do you feel is the most valuable player on this team?
Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, first-round pick at left tackle. Doesn't mean Trevor Goosby, not a good prospect, but All-American first-round pick at left tackle.
I think guys like Jake Majors, four-year starter, kind of going to be important. Baron Sorrell is important. Manny Muhammad. Jade Barron.
Manny Muhammad and Anthony Hill is adept at those positions.
Yeah.
And our
UT boy, I'm shocked he went with Jonte, but he did.
Our next question, guys. Jerry, you've been asked this quite a bit, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Zane Petty says, how many highs do we have right now?
Four or five.
There you go. I've seen that asked at least five.
If we're talking silent commits, four or five.
And then our next one, guys, from Phil. And Phil says, do y'all think the new college football playoff format with 12 teams changes the opting out by young men getting ready for the NFL?
I think it does for the 12 teams that are involved. I don't think it does for the Florida States of the world that got left at the altar and had to play in the Orange Bowl without, you know, half a roster.
Yeah.
So I think it does for the 12 teams involved, although I will say this, Jerry, I don't know if you're privy to some things I was told. Some of the guys at Alabama last year,
yes,
contemplated opting out of the national semifinal,
yeah,
because they felt like they hadn't been paid the NIL that they were due. And these are not small name players,
no,
either, by the way. I mean, they were like overpromised according to them, and then They ended up playing. Nick sent an assistant halfway across the country to get one guy to come back and report. So I do think it'll stop that. Hopefully, as part of the settlement and negotiation as a players association, that's something that's settled in the court, by an agreement.
Bobby, I was going to ask you, that's the next piece coming with profit sharing. These contracts are going to be like, look, man, you play until the end.
Yeah.
That's going to be part of these contracts. You're not going to, you're not going to make all this NIL money and then opt out with two games to go in college. These contracts are going to be a little bit more ironclad for these kids.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Or they're just not going to make the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Croson ITA says, can you guys compare where Xavier Filsomi is now to where D. Williams was last year? Or even Johnson Rubel.
Yeah, Johnson. So that's interesting. Both of those guys, from a scheme standpoint, Filsomi and Jordan Johnson Rubel are going to be ahead of Derek Williams because they had spring practice. So they're going to be a more comfortable player in August than Derek Williams was in August because those guys had a spring practice at Texas. Are either of those guys as upside talented as Derek Williams? I think Derek Williams is the most talented safety Texas has recruited. And look, I mean, the reality is Sarkisian comes out of the press conference. I've said this 50 times at least, and I'll keep saying it. is, oh, this guy could be a first-round pick one day. You just don't hear that in press conferences very often. So that's how high Texas was on Derek Williams. Michael Griffin said the same thing after watching him. So I think there's something that I think Derek Williams is the most gifted guy of them all. But these guys, Jordan Jotzer Bell and Phil Simi, will be more comfortable in August than Derek Williams was last year because he didn't have spring practice. By the way, here's the great thing. One of the great things, when I was in New Iberia, I can't remember when that was, January, whenever I was through there to see Jabari Antoine before he committed to LSU. And I didn't publicize this at the time, but what was interesting, a conversation there, how things are changing, is New Iberia now has early high school graduation because Derek Williams couldn't get out early and get to Texas. Derek Williams not being able to get out early is what changed the law that in New Iberia for kids, for future kids. So that's a very positive thing that happened through Derek Williams not being able to come in early, is that the coaches at Westgate and in the area said, whoa, 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 we can't be doing this to kids. That 70% of these kids are graduating high school early and going on and getting the head start, whether that's for college football, academics, NIL, all of it. They're like, wait, we're holding our kids back. This can't happen anymore.
I will say this about comparing those guys. Look, Derek Williams looks like a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Of those three, there's only one guy that physically you put him out there and say, this guy looks like a first-round draft pick. It doesn't mean that Phil Simi is not faster, because he is.
Yeah.
Will he be will Phil Simi, Xavier Phil Simi, he has the tools to be a high-level guy. The question I have is whether or not he's going to – how he takes to the college game as a member of the secondary. We saw in the spring game him be late on a pass over the middle, right? He's not used to the speed of the college game. How quickly do he and Jordan Johnson-Rebell catch up? Williams caught up fairly quickly, but, you know, you got to remember, he didn't play a lot early in the season. He started playing more as the season wore on. And so there's I guess what I'm saying is, don't expect a lot of those Jordan Johnson-Rebell, Xavier Phil Simi early in the season. Expect some stuff later. If they're picking up the scheme, if they're picking up where they need to be, et cetera.
And by the way, we didn't talk about this at the during the time, I think after the spring game, but that one play where Xavier Phil Simi was late and he kind of hit himself in the head. You know, we talk about speed of the game. You know what I think gets these young safeties too and DBs is how quickly the ball gets on the receivers. Because you may play one quarterback that has Quinn Ewers' arm talent in high school. You aren't playing a lot of those guys. So you have an extra split second and a half to react to ball in air. We talk about the speed of the game. I think when we say speed of the game, people are thinking, oh, the receivers are faster and getting out of their breaks quicker. Yeah, but it's how quickly the ball gets to those guys. Your reactions have to match up with that change at the college game. I think Derek Williams adapted really well for not having a spring practice, by the way.
I agree. I think that speed of the game will be the issue for Rubel and Phil Simi and for any safety, frankly. Safety, we talked about this, Jerry. You talked about it at length last year as it relates to Keaton Crawford. Does he have the eyes to play safety?
Yeah.
We don't know yet whether Xavier Phil Simi and Jordan Johnson-Rappel absolutely have the eyes to play safety. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it at a high level yet. Frankly, if there is one thing I'm worried about with Derek Williams reaching his first-round draft pick kind of status or belief there you have in him, Jerry, or Steve Sarkisian does, et cetera, it's whether or not he has the eyes, the elite eyes for safety. Earl Thomas had it.
Yeah.
Kenny Vaccaro had it. Michael Griffin had it. Those guys had the physical traits, but they also had the eyes.
Think about the play Michael Griffin made, the interception against Leinart.
Oh, no. It was all
those are the plays. Derek Williams to be a first rounder is going to have to make a few plays like that his next 2 years at Texas. That's really what it's going to come down to for him. But we've had some Jordan Johnson Rebell responses. I think JJR is going to be a really good player for Texas. And I'm not saying he's going to be an All-American, all-SEC, really good player, because I think he's a football studier, and I think he's an instinctive player. I think he's going to be a good player at Texas. Somebody's asking about Jelani at safety. Jelani, to me, Jelani McDonald's such an interesting player. Him and Darian Gillette have been the two guys that have been the most interesting players at Texas for me, is from a development standpoint, because these guys have never really locked in on one position until they get to college. So Jelani McDonald, hellacious athlete, right? But he played everywhere. He played quarterback. He played secondary. He played whatever. Darian Gillette played everywhere at Marlin before he moved to Teague. He missed his senior season after the knee injury, obviously. But those guys locking in on one position in that development, as athletic as they are, may take a little more time than some guys who have played a certain position for the last 6 years of their life and trained at it on weekends. So those guys are so interesting to follow for me. Jelani McDonald, a lot of talent, but the things we're just talking about with Derek Williams and the difference from safety being really good to, okay, this guy's going to be a high draft pick. Jelani McDonald's going to have to pass the same test. He just may be on a different developmental curve.
All right, guys, before we get to these last few questions, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks, excuse me, out there about Texas electricity ratings one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Our friends at Texas Electricity Ratings sponsor each and every Tuesday morning coffee and football. Anyone shopping for electricity in the deregulated areas of Texas, TexasElectricityRatings.com is the best place to find a great electricity plan for your household, and especially as you're getting ready to get started up for summertime. It filters out the dangerous and gimmicky plans from providers that are all hat and no cattle when it comes to your monthly bill. You can shop by rate, but also by an average bill feature that actually takes into account seasonal usage to give you a real number and not some placeholder. So if you're looking for a new electricity plan, check out TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for the best options available. Hook them from the folks at TexasElectricityRatings.com. Make sure you get ready for summertime in Texas.
I'm bringing this one up, Blake.
Yeah, go ahead. I was about to do it.
This is where I put respect on a guy's name, and not just Jonte, but all these guys. How many videos have you seen of him working with margin hooks? He is taking May very seriously, and when he's away from campus, that is a great sign for Jonte Cook that he's not off vacationing. He went home and he went right to work with margin hooks, because margin hooks is really good at what he does, and that's a guy in Jonte that knows there's an opportunity for him the next couple of years at Texas. And so he's putting in his time. He's not taking May to rest. He's putting in his work with margin hooks. It's good to see.
Arch Manning is out with QB country guys. So is KJ Lacy. Those guys, I mean, there's guys are out. Darian Gillette back home working with his guy too. They're getting ready to, they're coming back to school now though. They'll start getting back in midweek this week. Maybe a little bit later in the weekend, because they start school back the first week of June.
Hey, we've had a lot of questions about this. I haven't seen that because we're on air. Obviously, that news broke. But I just want to say this about Jaden Rashada, a very talented quarterback. That's going to be one of the most important SEC portal additions if Carson Beck gets injured. See that. Georgia, I think, had a depth issue at quarterback if Carson Beck got injured. They had guys transfer out. Jaden Rashada is extremely talented. I mean, Arizona State loved his upside. He got hurt. Obviously, skinny like Colt early on, really skinnier frames, got to be built out over time. But if something happens to Carson Beck, I don't know what's going to happen with the Florida situation. Obviously, I'm not part of that. But that's actually a key addition out of the portal, because it covers Georgia if Carson Beck gets injured.
Hey, let me read this. This is what Jerry, for those of you guys listening to us on a podcast or on Twitter, what Jerry was referencing is this. This is a headline from the CBS Sports app. Georgia quarterback Jaden Rashada has sued Florida coach Billy Napier, as well as top Gators booster Hugh Hathcock and former football staffer Marcus Castro Walker over a failed NIL deal that would have paid the quarterback $13.85 million, according to a lawsuit filed in federal court on Tuesday. The bombshell lawsuit, which features the unprecedented action of an active SEC quarterback, Rashad at Georgia, suing a sitting rival head coach, is the most notable NIL-related lawsuit to date. And I will say this, if you remember this, this is where the Gator boosters really took a black eye in the whole situation. They literally had the young man committed, signed him, and then backed out of the deal. And basically, this is what, you know, one thing I got to say about Texas, Texas doesn't back out of its deals and never had. You won't hear anybody saying Texas didn't pay this or that. Texas paid it. So I feel like you got to know who to trust in this business. And Jade Rashada suing Billy Napier, that's a big lawsuit, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's asking Gunnar Stockton, the backup at UGA. Yeah, he's not as talented as Rashada, though. Rashad, like, if there's a – I think the best-case scenario for Georgia is obviously Beck stays healthy. Rashada takes a redshirt year because he got hurt late. He got hurt midway through the year at Arizona State, didn't practice before. He was not involved in offseason while he was rehabbing before he transferred. But Rashada's really talented kid. If there was a long-term injury to Beck next year, be interesting to see what happens.
Okay, well, we have a super chat here from Patrick Page, and we'll probably end on this one, a little discussion here. He says, by the way, thank you, Patrick, for the super chat. Blake Gideon, Terry Joseph need to improve bringing guys along, in my opinion. Y'all's thoughts on this?
I think everybody needs to improve on bringing guys. I'm not, look, other than Manny Muhammad and Derek Williams, who has been a high-level recruit for them? Terrence Brooks, well, he started. You know, now Brooks, you know, he and Steve Sarkisian, for whatever reason, I don't know that they've recruited. Xavion Bryce was not going to start at Texas. He wasn't. The guys that they brought, I don't know it's the case. That it's all, everybody wants to talk about the coaches. I mean, it's the input can equal the output at times, and that has to do with recruiting.
All right, Blake, we had a couple of questions I wanted to address on JT Toppin in basketball.
Yes.
Here's the one thing I'll say about that. If it gets to seven figures, it ain't going to be Texas.
There you go. Yeah, we have had a few people ask about that. And I want to ask y'all this question before we get out of here from Odin Horns. Texas finishes second to Georgia in the 2024 season. They go 10-2. Where do you feel like they get seated in the college football playoff?
That's top a great eight. Question. Top eight somewhere.
Maybe top four.
Top eight for sure.
Yeah.
You just don't know. I mean, it depends. What if Oregon goes 11-1 and Ohio State goes 12-0? And you know what I mean, Jerry? Like, you just like last year, we had five teams that ended the season with one loss. Usually we don't have five teams that in the season with a minimum of one loss or a maximum of one loss. We usually have multiples. So in that case, if Texas were 10-2, Texas would have been 6 or 7 in the final poll last year. It all depends on other, like, is there going to be an undefeated team out of the ACC this year? I don't see that. None of them look that good unless Cam Ward really takes Miami to a different level. And
you know what's interesting? When I was traveling through Florida, I talked to a couple of people that saw him in the spring and didn't think he had a great spring.
Cam Ward?
Yeah.
He may not.
They think he's an upgrade for Miami, but maybe he didn't have a great spring.
He's a system quarterback to a degree. And Miami, Mario Cristobal wants to run a pro-style attack. That's not what he did at Incarnate Word or Washington State.
Yeah. And the reality with Cam Ward is if he could have gone to the draft, he would have.
Yes.
I mean, but so the other interesting thing down there in Florida is it factors in Florida State. Apparently, because the RPO game's not going to be there with DJ, who's an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all, I think it seems like they're going to retool what they do offensively a little bit. It's going to be more quick game, get the ball out of his hands, or vertical, because intermediate's not really his strength from an accuracy standpoint and timing standpoint. It's going to be interesting to see what Florida State looks like as well in the ACC this year. So some major, I think FSU is going to have a big drop off at quarterback from what they had a year ago. Because obviously if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, they're in the playoff, no doubt about it. And they would have earned it. And they would have earned the right to be there. But then if Cam Ward doesn't come through for Miami, ACC gets interesting. They could have a bunch of 9-3 teams in that league.
Mac Brown, baby, in the ACC. Watch Dabo prove all the doubters wrong. He and Cade clubbed it.
Oh, gosh. You'd never hear the end of it if he went 11.
No, you will not. And I was right all along. No need for us to take any portal transfers.
UT boy with our final super chat of the day. He says, Jerry Hamilton, you brought tears to his eyes, and we're going to bring some more tears to his eyes, as that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football. We want to thank Texas Electricity Ratings along with Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. And thank you all for tuning in for the great questions. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for more great discussion. Bobby, Jerry, CJ, Rod, everybody over there talking football and every other Longhorn sport around the clock. So do not miss that. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we post a video, go live, whatever it may be. And that way you don't miss out on anything. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hook 'em.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list. Teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.